Amazing. Thank you. So I've just got back from London yesterday afternoon. So I went to a conference called Power and Love. And coincidentally, it was all to do with healing, which is what I've been given to talk on. God works like that. It's cool. So it was all about equipping the church to go out and pray for people on the streets and just show them that Jesus loves them and that he wants a relationship with them. Now, I personally didn't see any amazing miracles happen, but there were lots of testimonies of people who were getting healed all over Kilburn, which is where we were. So I'm going to talk about Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus is a man of extraordinary faith, faith that could move mountains, possibly even continents. He was bold enough to stand and run to Jesus and tell him what he wanted, despite a whole bunch of people telling him it wasn't good enough. Now, when I read this chapter, what stood out to me was that Jesus tells Bartimaeus, "Your faith has healed you." But what does that mean? Surely Jesus heals Bartimaeus. He doesn't heal himself. Well, looking at Bartimaeus' circumstances, I believe helps answer that question. At the time, it was a common belief that sin caused blindness. So Bartimaeus, he had the equivalent of a big red siren blaring, "I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner." The blind often couldn't make a living, so ended up begging. There was even a law made against the blind becoming priests. So when Jesus healed Bartimaeus, he transformed his life not just by restoring his sight, but he was making a statement. He was showing us that your sin is not your identity. It's not who you are. Just because I've lied to somebody, that doesn't mean that I get liar tattooed to my forehead. Because our sins, they don't define us. Jesus defines us. So Bartimaeus, he was in a pretty tough and a dark place. And actually that's the key, because light shines so clearly in the darkness. Places of utter desperation are the easiest place to see kingdom activity. The enemy thinks he's already claimed those places, so he's not bothered about them. And he's convinced us that the darkness is just too dark. It's too much for us to cope with. But we are the light of the world. We carry the light of the world inside of us. It's not just that little light of mine. It's the light of the world. But what we can learn from Bartimaeus is that he put Jesus in exactly the right position in his life. He placed him first above everything, because he had nothing else. Nothing to get in the way, no possessions, no relationships, no money, no nothing. He had nothing distracting him between himself and God. All he had was the belief that Jesus could transform his life. His belief that Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus was his only hope, his only saviour that day. Bartimaeus placed Jesus at the number one spot in his life, and that is the place Jesus needs to be for us. And that is what it means to have faith. Having faith in Jesus means putting him first, if I've not said that enough already. That was easy for Bartimaeus because he had nothing else to get in the way. He was desperate. It is a lot harder for us because we have so much, unless we're desperate. But that's what faith is. So I'm not saying that you've got to get rid of everything you own to be in that place of desperation. But if it's causing you to stumble, you cut it off. And Jesus did tell the rich man to give away everything, and that's because his riches would get in the way between him and God. And although the things we love are often very, very good things, C.S. Lewis says, "The truth is that God is love," may slightly come to mean for us the converse, that love is God. And then he says, "Our loves do not make their claim to divinity until the claim becomes plausible." In other words, the things that are most precious to us, most pure and wonderful, are the most dangerous loves, because they are the best and highest things in our life. And so they're the most likely things to take God's place. We can't let those things cloud our vision, because before we know it, we have a wall of to-do lists between us and him. And we think, if I could just earn that little bit more money, if I can just do this, if I could just do that, it'll all be fine. But all we're really doing is pushing Jesus to the side and forgetting that he is the only one that can transform the situation. Time is a huge one. Who worships time rather than Jesus? I know I do. Sometimes I let it control my life rather than accepting the life of freedom from the one who made time itself. Now that's where I am. Yeah, it's very easy to do that. To live totally dependent on Jesus is a really uncomfortable place to be and does not conform to the pattern of this world. But guess what? I'm pretty sure that's what the Bible says. You know, that's why the Holy Spirit is known as the Comforter. Because as Christians, as little Christs, we're not supposed to be comfortable. To be Christ-like is offensive. We're not made to blend in. And Bartimaeus, he understands that too. He gets the persecution and the expectancy of the world. He was shouted down at because... Oh my gosh, I keep doing this. It's like the line just disappears. Yeah. Because Bartimaeus, he didn't fit their mould. He was told to be quiet by the people who thought they knew better. How often in your life has someone told you to be quiet or that you're not good enough? We even tell ourselves that. And actually, it's probably society's biggest fear, that you're not enough. Because the truth is, we're not good enough and we don't deserve the love of God. But that's completely irrelevant. The lie is the therefore, and that's where the devil sits whispering. I'm not good enough, therefore Jesus won't turn and look at me. And by turning aside, by coming to us, Jesus shows us he values and loves us, whoever we are. Even when Peter denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus still looked at him and said, Peter, I love you. I am going to go and die for you. The flip side is telling ourselves that we are good enough. And actually, it's all fine. I'm a good person. What's the harm in that? When in fact, we are as spiritually blind as Bartimaeus was physically blind. We all need Jesus, and we all need healing. And we all need to know that Jesus loves us anyway. But what would have happened if Bartimaeus had listened to those voices telling him, you are not enough? Nothing would have happened. Nothing would have changed. He would remain blind without anything. But instead, Bartimaeus pushed past the lie that he wasn't enough and shouted even louder because he knew who Jesus was. He believed what Jesus could do and he was expecting that transformation would happen. So when the world tells you that you are not good enough, how as little Christs should we respond? In submission to that lie? I don't think so. You tell the world, I am a son, I am a daughter of the King of the universe, and he determines my worth. And the King says, I am his, I am chosen, I am loved, I belong because he came and he died for my sins, which means the world has nothing on me that he hasn't already dealt with. My favourite worship leader, Jason Upton, he writes in one of his songs, there's a power in poverty that breaks principality and brings authority down to its knees. I'll just say it again because it's quite a lot to take in. There is a power in poverty that breaks principality and brings the authorities down to its knees. And I love that. Because the world can take away everything we own materialistically. It can judge us, it can place us at the bottom of society. But the world can't take away the one who died so that we could live. The one who made us and who loves us and the one who gives us a hope for the future. The only one. And that is the power of poverty. Because when we have nothing and surrender our lives to him, we have him and he is all we need. Because he is the one who changes the situation, who takes darkness and not only makes it light, but creates the cosmos. Isn't that amazing? Now, I get the sense this morning that there's some stuff that we need to lay down at his feet, and I want to give you all the opportunity to do that. So if the band could come up. Thanks, Dad. We're just going to spend some time receiving from God, from what he wants to speak to us about this morning. So if you could you stand if you're able? Thank you. This is a very simple response. I'm not going to get you to do anything weird, don't worry. Nothing that I've learned from the conference. But all you need to do is just hold out your hands in front of you like you're going to receive a gift. And if it helps, close your eyes and just picture Jesus in front of you. And lock your gaze with his. Thank you, God. I'm just going to pray, and then after I've prayed, if you feel comfortable, we'll pray together. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here among us. We say, come, Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts this morning and fill us up, God. We say yes to all you have for us, Lord. Would you reveal to each person the things that are getting in the way between you and them, God, that are getting in the way of a deeper relationship with you. Show us how to know you better, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you're feeling anything, either warm or heavy or anything like electricity in your hands, don't worry. That's just God showing you he loves you. And he wants more of a relationship with you. And he's here this morning to do business with you. And if you don't, that's fine too. God speaks to each of us differently. So come, Holy Spirit, minister to your people. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let's pray together. Just repeat what I say if you agree. Jesus, I lay down my life at your feet. I surrender everything I am to you. I want more of you and less of me. I invite you into my heart this morning. Refresh me, Lord. And light that fire in me again. Come, Lord Jesus.